Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation is with Mark Neidinger, Deputy Assistant Administrator for Management at the U.S. Agency for International Development. And joining us in our conversation is Kim Hensman.
Mark, since enterprise architecture, or EA, is complex, could you describe enterprise architecture from an IT perspective and then from a programmatic perspective?
Basically, what I like to do is actually describe enterprise architecture primarily from a programmatic perspective, because from the use of an enterprise architecture, or the purpose of the enterprise architecture, it really is a business-focused concept. I guess in a short definition of an enterprise architecture, at one time I was asked to define enterprise architecture in an elevator between six floors. I was reaching one time for a stop button to see if I could do it, but I wasn't fast enough. In simple terms, the enterprise architecture is a blueprint of an organization's workflow, underlying policies, technology supports, services that are provided by that government agency or other organization, and how they interrelate. And that aspect is, in essence, termed as the as-is. It's a snapshot picture of how the organization operates in significant detail, as well as the enterprise architecture is how all this, the workflow, underlying policies, technology supports and services and such, how they may better relate. And that perspective is from a to be, where, in essence, the organization would like to go. So it's that blueprint. And basically, it's capturing information in a very standardized format that basically defines those elements, and be able to draw interrelationships between all this to see how it all works. That's concept of the enterprise architecture. Given all that information brought forth, and given common understandings of that information, in other words, an apple's an apple in regards to translation, and then applying enterprise architecture, what occurs is that applying the EA, you then derive various areas of initiatives that need to take place, projects that need to take place. It could be policy changes, work process changes. It could be IT investments. And why I wanted to focus on it from a business perspective rather than IT is because historically enterprise architecture has really been seen as an IT-focused concept, IT architecture and such. And I began my career with enterprise architectures back in 1983. And at that point, what really was pretty much heavily influenced along those lines in taking a look at how technology works together, but also later on, how given a portfolio of technology, how, in essence, an organization could be more efficient or more effective in regards to its investment. What was missing at that point, though, is the rationale why the technology was in place in the first instance, which is to support the business or the organization's goals. And as technology has matured, and as the organizations have become much more sophisticated and also reliant upon technology, the business area now has become much more involved and quite honestly needs to be continue to be involved and encouraged to be involved in the enterprise architecture development. And this is, I think, one of the primary focuses that OMB was looking at in its development of the federal enterprise architecture. Again, not only taking a look at IT investments and efficiencies there, but also in regards to where government can be more efficient from a business process perspective. And that's the exciting piece of the enterprise architecture and how it's being used to date. Because at this point, I think there's a cultural revolution going from just an IT-specific focus to really embracing the business perspective. And from that, I think then you will really have an opportunity to have a larger opportunity for change. Because and for change, in essence, that will have, a larger impact on an organization. Because now you're looking at change within the way that an organization operates versus just the technology. The technology needs to reflect those changes, but taking a look at the organization and helping the organization understand how it may change, be more efficient, is a great tool benefit of the enterprise architecture. Even though we didn't go down six floors, hopefully that's a simple enough explanation there.
Well, you mentioned that EA is primarily thought of as an IT tool, but yet you're using it as a business tool in the case of the HIV/AIDS. And I'm curious, like, what's the business area behind the HIV/AIDS initiative?
Well, basically, the HIV/AIDS initiative, or HIV/AIDS, in essence, services, the focus there is to obviously to provide services and to have success in addressing and attacking the disease and measuring that success. The HIV/AIDS, what I call segment of the enterprise architecture, which is the first piece of developing this architecture, incorporates not only, as I indicated in a definition from an enterprise architecture, not only the specific service area, in this case the administration of services and items to combat the disease, but it also crosses over other areas within the agency, budget, policy, procurement, and the like. In looking at the HIV/AIDS area, what we also have the opportunity to do is see how that sort of touches all these other entities and organizations within the agency. And what that allows you to do is draw a composite of basically what it will take to be able to have, in this case, HIV/AIDS area service providers and the organization be more efficient, be able to, I guess, be more to be able to leverage efficiencies in regards to policies, be able to leverage efficiencies in regards to technology, better to take a look at how they may be able to better deploy information from other areas that they're involved with, such in the budget area and in procurement. It gives a larger picture of, in essence, the success of the HIV/AIDS area.
So what did the HIV/AIDS program area learn about their business as a result of using this EA methodology? It sounds like there are a number of findings that they could use to benefit themselves.
Yeah, I think there's several major findings that had occurred. I think one of them was basically taking a look at the degree of heroic effort that it may have taken to be able to pull together data and information that was needed to determine degrees of success, levels of success, to be able to provide reporting information out, and take a look at why it was a heroic effort. Sometimes heroic efforts are brought about because basically what you're doing is reaching out. You have to reach out to numbers of different areas and take a look at different data sets and bring those together and hope, and in essence, reach out to maybe areas that you don't even have a mechanism to be able to collect information. So the enterprise architecture sort of takes a look at the entire mapping of that, about that information and areas that there may be some data gaps for one reason or another. How do we address that? Is it a policy change? Is it a work process change? Is it a contractual change? So the architecture helped set a data model that, in essence, would help the agency, and specifically in regards to HIV/AIDS, to be able to effectively and efficiently be able to pull all this information together and bring it together not only in regards to addressing current reports that we're aware of, but also to be creative as to how we can interpret this information, because we'll have a venue of being able to, what I call, slice and dice the data, as opposed to just bringing it together for a specific, say, report perspective. I think that was a critical success. It also provided an underlying foundation for what we're terming the beginning of an executive information system. And what the executive information system will eventually do is be able to, again, apply information from the enterprise architecture from multiple facets within the agency and take a look at comparative information across the agency and be able to have a very effective tool for managers to build decisions from. The exciting thing I think that was a result of this in regards to the data model and such was that in essence, when we were looking at the enterprise architecture, a key element for success for this to occur, given the complexity of an enterprise architecture, is that we had to demonstrate a result. Oftentimes, enterprise architectures are created to first capture all the information of an organization, and then you apply it. The amount of time it takes to do that is usually enormous, and you usually lose your audience by then if you were able to get your business champions in place and people excited about it, because it just takes too long. The approach that we took with this was basically to take a specific segment of the organization, one that, in essence, had a great deal of credibility, a lot of high-level skills that were associated with it, an area that also, as with many of our service areas, actually have a major impact worldwide on the populations that we support and provide services to. Take that and show, as a result of applying enterprise architecture, an immediate result, in this case, that data model. In this case, the ability of supporting the agency from not having to put forth heroic efforts to address these critical data needs, but in essence, a data model that can address that. So as we go forth in the enterprise architecture development, what will be occurring then is that we will be taking a look at next slices, maybe a further expansion of global health or into other areas, and then, again, build a quick result from there to keep on capturing the imagination of the organization as this goes forward.
What are some of the other challenges and lessons learned from using enterprise architecture? We'll ask Mark Neidinger of USAID when the Business of Government Hour returns.